Welcome back to SNW Radio. This is episode 20, and yet again, this is another in our series of IT Basics for Physical Security Pros, which means Kevin Beaver is back with us. Hello, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. Mighty fine, thanks.
So this episode, we're going to hit on wireless security. We promoted that a little bit in our last one, and we're really looking forward to it. It seems to be a very popular topic, and of course, Kevin, being the principal of CEO of Principal Logic. I guess you're the principal of Principal Logic, too.
Yeah, you can say that.
Of course, an expert consultant, speaker, expert witness, et cetera, in the field of IT security, here to enlighten us about web security terms, network security terms, and some of the basics that are starting to affect integrators and end users in the physical security community. Which brings us, of course, back around to wireless security, and we're gonna get into some questions today about what are some of the flaws in terms of wireless security, and really cover some of the basics. But I guess before we get there, let's talk about what is wireless. You know, what is the wireless networking, and what is wireless networking not? I guess we're talking a lot about 802.11, right, Kevin?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, 802.11 is the IEEE standard for wireless network communications, and that's the one thing. When you hear about wireless networks or wireless LANs or even Wi-Fi, you hear about Wi-Fi hotspots and all that stuff. That's what most people are referring to. There's some other proprietary technologies out there by a lot of different vendors that use different, their own frequency bands and things like that. But as far as 802.11 goes, we're mostly concerned with the 2.4 gigahertz. Frequency range as well as the 5 gigahertz range.
And so we're looking at that, and we're going to talk about wireless security. When we start to think about wireless security, all right, so we've kind of introduced the concept of the IEEE standards on 802.11. What are some of the other terms that folks need to know for wireless security?
Well, I think it's good to know some of the basics. The 802.11a, was technically the first wireless network standard that came out, but it was sort of trumped by 802.11b that came up way back in 1999. Wow, I can't believe it's almost 10 years old. But and then there's the newer 802.11g and then 802.11n. And what these are just different standards within this 802.11 realm, and it basically dictates whether or not they're running in the 2.4 or 5 gigahertz range, as well as what speed they're running. For all intents and purposes, most of the wireless that we see out there today is 802.11g, which is runs in the 2.4 gigahertz range, and it's technically about 54 megabits per second throughput, although in reality it's probably less than half of that. So that's the main one that we see. There's some 802.11a out there, and there's quite a bit of b still hanging around. And of course 802.11n is just around the corner, which is supposedly going to bump things up to 248 megabits per second, but I'm sure we'll be lucky if we see half or a third of that kind of throughput. But those are good to know. And there's also a couple other terms that you may have heard of. WEP, which stands for Wired Equivalent Privacy. It's basically a type of encryption that encrypts the communication sessions as they're going across the air. That was since replaced with WPA, which stands for Wi-Fi Protected Access. Researchers discovered that WEP encryption could be cracked within a matter of minutes, and the IEEE committee and the Other governing bodies developed WPA in the interim, which eventually became 802.11i was the standard. But it's essentially a way of encrypting that traffic, because if you don't lock down your airwaves, anybody within range, anybody within radio range of your environment is going to be able to see exactly what's flowing across your network. And that's the thing that distinguishes wireless from wired networks, is that there is no physical boundary. And that's why it's so easy to get into trouble with wireless if you don't do things the right way, which sort of leads us into this whole security issue.
And, of course, it's not like you have to have any really special equipment. I mean, you just look at view-available networks and wander around with your computer, throw it in the passenger seat, right?
Yep, and you just hop onto to whatever network, and there you are. You can see all the traffic going across that network. You can use that network as a complete outsider, and the owner of the network is going to be none the wiser, because it's, unless they have the right equipment, unless they're actively monitoring their systems, they're never going to know.
And of course, some of this isn't related directly to security systems, but I mean, in terms of overall corporate risk management, I mean, if you've got an open connection, and just imagine the things that people could be doing on your connection, whether it's, downloading illicit materials or whatever it is, trying to enter stuff into your corporate network that way, right?
Absolutely, and I'm starting to see more and more physical security components that have typically been wired in the past. They're now coming with wireless options, just because wireless is so much easier and cheaper to deploy. Especially cameras, even certain access control systems, they use wireless, and you've got to take all this into consideration when you're looking at your overall corporate risk management, because there are some vulnerabilities, be it people snooping in and seeing what's going on, or be it someone using a radio jammer to take the entire wireless system down.
Good point there. So let's jump back for a quick half second, and we were talking about WPA versus WEP, WEP, and WEP was broken about a year ago, right, I think, or somewhere around that time.
Actually, several years ago.
Several years, okay.
Yeah, WPA with pre-shared keys, that was found to be broken a couple of years ago as well. That's why they've since established, well, if you're going to use WPA and use a pre-shared encryption key, it needs to be at least 20 random characters.
Okay. And is there a worry that some of this older, WEP and WPA pre-shared keys that, don't have a very complex keys are still around and in use?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If the majority of networks that I'm seeing now either have WEP or WPA security implemented, there are still some that are out there that are just completely open. Anybody and everybody can do whatever they want to on those networks. But there's still a lot of WEP, which is breakable, and there's even quite a bit of WPA. The thing is, with both WEP and WPA, using them for encryption and authentication purposes, it really does add an extra layer. Even if it can be broken, it's still an extra hoop that somebody's going to have to jump through that's going to keep out the majority of people that would otherwise just be curious and snooping around on your network. You got to have the right tools. You got to have the right skill set to be able to actually crack these encryption keys.
And I guess is one of the dangers that a lot of these tools that are needed to, quote, crack the keys, that are they available now on the Internet?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I wrote extensively about them in my book, Hacking Wireless Networks for Dummies. You can go download any number of these tools. In fact, most wireless tools are free and open source. There's a relatively small number of commercial wireless tools. Most of the stuff that's used for hacking is free, easily accessible right off the Internet.
Okay. So doesn't paint a great picture, of course, for wireless security, but go ahead.
There's obviously a lot of weaknesses, but you know, the same can be said for web applications. The same can be said for physical security. If you don't do the basics, then yeah, something bad likely will happen. But if you just lock down the basics, that's all you need to do, and you're going to keep out, you know, practically every type of attack.
Okay. And, of course, you know, I mean, when we think of wireless, I mean, especially in physical security, we're seeing wireless cameras come out, and a lot of these are 802.11. We have seen, of course, some of these. We talked earlier about the proprietary schemes for wireless transmission. I have seen some 900 megahertz, like, Ethernet transmitters or transceivers attached to cameras, but a lot of the stuff stays in that 802.11 spectrum. If we can look at real quick, when we say 802.11a versus B versus G versus I versus N, in terms of those, are they just specifying the spectrum and the way it transmits data, or do they really get into security in those standards?
Yeah, they're all essentially the same. Basically specifies the operating frequency, the throughput, the data rate, and the modulation technique. The underlying vulnerabilities basically apply to any type of 802.11 wireless.
Okay. So let's talk about what do we do to, if you find that your network is using that, what should you be doing to plug those holes?
Well, in reality, here's what needs to be done. You got to figure out what are your needs. Why do you need wireless? Is it a necessity? And what are the business reasons behind it? Secondly, conduct a risk assessment. Get in and see what's vulnerable with your wireless, or what would be vulnerable or put at risk if you do deploy wireless. And then, once you decide to move forward, or if you already have systems in place, you know, go in and implement some well-known security standards and protocols and just general hardening best practices. And these are everywhere out on the Internet. You can get them for free. Even NIST, the government agency, has a good document on how to harden wireless networks. And then at that point, if wireless becomes a bigger and bigger and bigger thing within the organization, and it usually does, once people realize the value of it and the convenience of it, you need to somehow be able to rein in all of those systems and gain some control and visibility and automate it. Automate your security and automate your management using, you know, some centrally managed tools. Then it, of course, it's going to pay to educate your users on what not to do. When they're at a hotel or they're at a coffee shop, they're driving down the road and they need to check their email or send an email real quick, don't just hop on to whatever wireless network is out there and do your thing, because bad things can happen. You never know who's actually watching or what type of system is on the other end of that connection to glean your passwords, to glean your emails, and anything else. And then, closing the loop, you got to validate that your controls are actually working. You know, test, have somebody come in and test periodically, once a year, a couple times a year, to see if your wireless is still secure, like you say it is. And then, finally, you know, try to automate as much of the testing and as much of the management and whatnot to close the loop, to close that change management loop that we're all trying to. You know, we're all striving for. Once you do that, if you just do this stuff, do the basics, you're not going to have to spend a whole lot of money and a whole lot of effort doing it. But this is going to buy you essentially everything you need to keep your wireless environment secure.
So again, it sounds, you know, it's a very traditional kind of approach to security. Start with the risk assessment. In terms of that, are there some guidelines in terms of when is wireless appropriate and when is it really not appropriate? And when is wireless being used? You know, is it being chosen by companies a lot of times when it's really not necessary?
There are no basic guidelines. These are all business decisions and technical decisions that every organization is going to have to make. I say if there's a need for wireless and it's going to save money and it's going to add convenience and maybe add some other features, as long as that can be kept under control, I say go for it. I love wireless, just like instant messaging and a lot of these other technologies that people are afraid to implement. If you do it in the right way, I say go for it.
Yeah, and it's obviously huge value, whether it's for that camera that you can get power to, but you can't really get cabling to, or whether you just want to put it in the conference room where the executives meet, so they don't have to make sure they all have Ethernet cords every time they come in there.
Absolutely.
In terms of oversight on wireless security, are there systems and software out there people should be looking at?
Well, I think even before you get to the level of systems and software, you gotta make sure that you don't go into this with the wrong perspective. You know, mobile and wireless convenience and benefits are pretty obvious, but the risks aren't not that obvious to a lot of people. And you know, all this mobility is becoming a business necessity, but security is not being treated with the same importance. So that. The one consistent thread that I'm finding wherever I go, no matter who has wireless, it's I see one of two things. They either say, well, we don't have wireless, and first of all, that's a dangerous mindset, and it's most likely an incorrect assumption, because it's virtually guaranteed that we all have some sort of wireless in our environments. It's hard not to get wireless when you buy new systems. So we don't have wireless. That's dangerous. That tends to get people into trouble. Or on the other hand, people say, well, we have a no wireless policy, and that's all that's needed to keep things from happening. And a lot of managers and a lot of, you know, even IT administrators think that just because somebody wrote something on a piece of paper that all of a sudden that their organization and their network is secure. And in reality, most of these policies are not being enforced. So that can be those are two of the biggest things that will come back and bite you if you don't get this thing under control. So I guess in the end, all this wireless mobility stuff, it's requiring a new mindset, you know, and a new approach to managing business and managing technology.
And it, you know, I mean, when we think of saying, okay, well, we don't have wireless. Well, have you checked in every telecom closet and at every desk and make sure no one's put a router up there, do they?
Absolutely. Well, and the thing is, people say we don't have wireless, and you say, well, when was the last time you checked? Oh, I walked through with my laptop using NetStumbler, and I didn't see anything. I do it every couple of months, you know, and the thing is, that's a snapshot in time, and just because you don't see it today or this particular hour or whatever doesn't mean that it doesn't exist or that it's not going to be turned on later after hours or something along those lines. So, yeah, I mean, if you're going to monitor for wireless and make sure that it's kept under control, this is where you need some of those centrally managed, like wireless IDS systems, in order to really get out there and monitor and enforce.
And, of course, in episode 18, if you're wondering what does this mean for the physical security system, in episode 18, Kevin spoke about how he pulled up at a large company's parking lot, got on their wireless network, and was able to, and he was there to do a risk assessment for them, I believe, was able to look in and get on their network with just a simple stock password, right?
I was able to get onto their wireless system and onto their network without anything because it was open. Anybody could get onto it. Yeah.
No password, and I think you said you were able to see the physical security systems there on the network. So
their data center control system. Yep.
Yeah.
And
so
that's what had the default username and password, and could get in. And I basically owned their data center physical security controls from the parking lot of the building.
And that story is why we made wireless security our second topic. We said we have to cover this.
Right.
Looking towards the future, technologies that are coming out that might shape wireless and wireless security?
Well, the thing is that, you know, the security solutions are here now. It's just a matter of choice on implementing them. You know, you can use the built-in security controls in your wireless systems, or you can buy a wireless intrusion detection and prevention system that's really going to lock things down. I think the important point to keep in mind here, beyond that, is that you know, with more mobility in business, we're going to have more wireless and more laptops. With greater information systems complexity, we're going to have more security issues. With all these newer technologies and all this alphabet soup for 802.11, we're going to have newer security problems. You know, 802.11n, yeah, maybe people will have fixed the security issues by the time they deploy it, but maybe not. And the thing is, it's going to be running at 248 megabits per second. So what does that mean? It means that it's not only insecure, but it also means that stuff can be done more, you know, attacks can be carried out more quickly, you know. So you're actually facilitating these hack attacks. And really the final point is, with all this increased government controls that we've got, there are going to be greater consequences. So there's two sides to this coin. You know, what you do to prevent wireless security breaches and how you react after a breach. And based on my experience and the misfortunes of others, the former is a whole lot easier and cheaper than the latter. So try to be proactive with this. If you're proactive, you get it under control now. It can be managed, and it can actually facilitate the business instead of hamper the business.
And I guess the idea there is that IT security folks are a lot cheaper than lawyers usually are, right?
Absolutely, at least half the price.
Not cheap, though, necessarily. But, you know, it's interesting because, I mean, definitely with this 802.11n, we're talking about that kind of data rate. One of the holdbacks for the physical security industry on wireless has been the data throughput because, you know, Whether it's, you know, if it's cameras, I mean, obviously video just eats up the bandwidth. But when you start to talk about those kind of numbers, I mean,
you're going to see a widespread use of the technology, because people are going to say, wow, this may finally work for us now. But you got to make sure you do it the right way.
Absolutely. And you got to think about that security on that. It's not just about being paranoid, though some might think you are, but you know, whether it's the potential of someone to sit there and look in on your cameras or you know, change the settings on recording systems and, you know, those kind of things there would all of a sudden become applicable. So
paranoid
it's
than the alternative.
Yeah, it is. And as they say, you're really not paranoid. They actually are actually watching you, and of course that's the bad guy. What bad guys do. So, we're going to come back, probably in a couple of weeks and hit on some more IT security topics. And, of course, we'll kind of build off of some of the things we've talked about in the last one. Of course, web security in the first episode, which was episode 18 back in December, and then wireless security this episode. So we'll build on next time, and we'll be back with the folks, with you guys on this. In a couple weeks. So thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Again, big thanks to Kevin Beaver of Principal Logic for talking to us this episode about wireless security. Our next installment of IT Basics for Physical Security Pros will hit on the issue of mobile device security. That's laptops, PDAs, and more. If you want to reach us at SIW Radio, just email us at podcast@securityinfowatch.com. Thanks for tuning in.